Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Czechia's top officials have extended condolences and expressed deep sympathy and support for Turkey and Syria hit by a devastating earthquake. Firefighters from the Czech Urban Search and Rescue Team have started a survey of the earthquake-hit city of Adiaman, and the outgoing president Miloš Zeman is on a three-day official visit to Slovakia, his last foreign trip in office. Czechia's top officials have extended condolences and expressed deep sympathy and support for Turkey and Syria, which were hit by a devastating earthquake in the early hours of Monday. Czechia has dispatched a 68-member urban search and rescue team, including sniffer dogs, a structural engineer and a doctor, to Turkey to help with the rescue effort. Over 4,000 people are reported to have been killed, and the death toll is rising by the hour. The NGO's People in Need and Caritas have opened special accounts for public donations. Firefighters from the Czech Urban Search and Rescue Team have started a survey of the earthquake-hit city of Adiaman, the Czech Fire and Rescue Service announced on Twitter on Tuesday. The team, made up of roughly 70 firefighters from Prague and Moravia Silesia, was flown to the country on Tuesday morning by Turkish military planes. They are equipped with rescue dogs and advanced technology for searching the rubble. Aid from around the world is flowing to Turkey and Syria following Monday's devastating earthquake. So far, some 2,660 people from 65 countries have been sent to take part in search and rescue operations. The death toll has already exceeded 5,000. The Czech embassy in Ankara has not registered any Czechs so far among the victims of Monday's devastating earthquake. According to the Czech ambassador to Turkey, Pavel Vacek, there is currently one Czech woman unaccounted for in Adiaman province, where a team of Czech rescuers is now deployed. The embassy assisted a group of six Czechs who were in the country on business and were in the Kahramanmaraş province when the earthquake struck on Monday. The group is already on their way to Ankara and will leave for Czechia on Wednesday. Outgoing President Miloš Zeman is on a three-day official visit to Slovakia, his last foreign trip in office. He arrived on Monday evening together with the First Lady and dined with Slovak President Zuzana Čaputová at a hotel in Štrbské Pleso in the High Tatras. On Tuesday, he's due to meet with Slovak top officials and the country's former presidents Rudolf Schuster and Andrej Kiska. It is a tradition that the leaders of Czechia and Slovakia always pay their first and last foreign visits to the former sister state. President Zeman's second term in office will end on the 8th of March. Czechia was back on Germany's list of top 10 trading partners in 2022 after a one-year absence, the Czech-German Chamber of Commerce and Industry announced on Tuesday. The volume of bilateral trade increased by 16.5% year-on-year to €113 billion, which is the highest figure in history. Czechia also had a positive trade balance with Germany in 2022. Czechs exported €58.7 billion worth of goods to Germany last year, an increase by 18% on the previous year. Goods worth €54.3 billion were imported to Czechia from Germany, nearly 15% more than in 2021. A tank for Ukraine named Tomáš, purchased with funds from Czech donors, has already been deployed in combat in Ukraine. The money for the tank was raised within an initiative called Gift for Putin, which uses colorful projects to raise cash to help Ukraine repel the Russians. On the first anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the initiative is planning a parade through Prague and a concert. It has also prepared projects for the post-war reconstruction of the country. Renowned Czech graphic artist and illustrator Květa Pacovská died on Tuesday at the age of 94. Pacovská's work encompasses many different forms, from paintings, sculptures and spatial objects to drawings and installations. Květa Pacovská's books have received recognition abroad, and her paintings and sculptures have been exhibited in museums and galleries around the world. She has received numerous awards and accolades for her work. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with day temperatures ranging between -2 and 2 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news. Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, with me, Ruth Vraňková. Coming up in today's program, Czechia sends help to Turkey and Syria in wake of devastating earthquake. NGOs extend capacities for homeless as freezing cold spell hits Czechia. And later we pay a visit to the Czech School Without Borders in London. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria in the early hours of Monday morning has now claimed over 5,000 lives, with the death toll still rising. Although the hopes of finding people alive buried underneath the rubble are decreasing now that more than 24 hours have passed, search and rescue teams are still working in the area, including a team of Czech firefighters. Czech NGOs are also organizing humanitarian aid, as Anna Fodor reports.
The roughly 70-strong Czech urban search and rescue team, made up of firefighters from Prague and Moravia Silesia, departed on Monday evening and was flown on Tuesday morning by Turkish military planes to the city of Adıyaman, where they immediately started working. Martin Kavka is the spokesperson for the Prague firefighters.
The team is organized into several smaller groups so that they can work around the clock. Part of the team is working on the construction of barriers and the other part is working directly on search and rescue efforts. These teams are equipped for finding people in houses destroyed by the earthquake. They carry echolocators and focal plane shutter cameras with them. There are search and rescue dogs with their handlers, and every team has a doctor with them. Finding people in collapsed buildings is exactly what the USAR teams are fully equipped for and trained to do.
Czech humanitarian organizations are also helping financially. The NGOs People in Need and Caritas have opened special accounts for public donations. Irena Menšíková is working with Caritas in Turkey.
The situation on the ground is extremely desperate. It's catastrophic. The situation is complicated by freezing temperatures, snow and rain. People slept in their cars because they had nowhere else to go.
Menšíková says the locals primarily need warm clothing, sleeping bags, food and water. However, according to Šimon Pánek, director of People in Need, it is best for people at home in Czechia to donate money rather than material goods and leave the humanitarian aid to the people working on the ground.
Everything that is needed can be bought in the local area or ordered from warehouses, which is more effective, faster, and supports the local economy, its restaurants, shops, and farmers.
The Czech Red Cross and the charity ADRA have also opened donation accounts. ADRA is one of the few international humanitarian organizations continuing to operate in Syria despite the ongoing civil war. Zbigniew Wojkowski is ADRA's head of foreign projects.
In view of the cold temperatures, people who lost their homes are being housed in temporary accommodation. We are also helping people get basic things like blankets, sleeping bags and warm clothes, as well as food, drinking water and basic hygiene products, because in many cases people lost almost everything, escaping only with their lives.
Millions of crowns have already arrived in the donation accounts, 15 million to people in need, 1.3 million to Caritas, 100,000 to the Czech Red Cross and 600,000 to ADRA. Pavel Vacek, the Czech ambassador to Turkey, says that Czechia will continue to help as the situation unfolds, and there is still much to be done.
Both the number of victims and the extent of the damage, which unfortunately is far from over, will continue to grow. We will wait for Turkey's further requests for help in the later stages that will certainly be for medical assistance.
(laughs)
Shelters and emergency housing facilities across Czechia have started filling up as the freezing weather drives homeless people off the streets. With nighttime lows likely to stay at around minus 12 degrees for the rest of the week, Daniela Lazarová spoke to Jitka Modlitbová, head of social services at the Czech branch of the Salvation Army, about what they are doing to help.
Every winter, we are increasing our capacities in our social services. Here in Prague, that applies to our night shelter and also our day center. In the day center, not only are the capacities bigger during the day, but also during the night when it's below zero and the temperatures are as freezing as nowadays, we let the day center open even during the night. So the people in need can come inside and spend the night inside on so-called warm care.
Have you seen a significant increase in these past few days when night temperatures are dropping to minus 12?
Yes, definitely. We can see that our stable services are completely full, and also this warm chair that I just mentioned is getting more and more popular among our clients, so we see increases every night.
Are you able to provide hot food and drinks?
Yes, we are. Soup is served to our clients both in the day center and the night shelter, and every winter we cooperate with other services for homeless people and also with the municipality of Prague, so we are able to increase our capacities even more and to open emergency winter accommodation.
Do you have any idea how many homeless people there are now on the streets of Prague?
I would say it's a couple of thousand, but it's really hard to quantify because the number is changing every day.
And how many are organizations like yours giving shelter to?
In the whole Czech Republic, it's thousands of people every day. In Prague only, in the day center, we have more than 200 people coming every day for food and for our other services.
Sometimes when the cold weather's cold spell persists, Prague City Hall erects tent cities. Is that in the pipeline now, or is it being considered?
In the last few years, there was a slight change, slight mind shift, I would say. Prague is every year trying not to open tents, but to open or to find buildings that can be used as so-called hostels, which is less provisional and also gives our clients more dignity.
And that is happening now?
That is happening now, yes. There are at least three emergency accommodations opened, two of them only during the winter months, so from December to March, and two of them are opened all year long.
And how can people help? I believe that there are so-called nocleženky, where you can actually cover the cost of a night for someone.
Yes, nocleženky, or as we sometimes call them, night vouchers, are vouchers for one night under our roof. One nocleženka costs 100 crowns, and for this price, a homeless person receives a meal, a shower, a bed, and also service of our social workers with which they can talk about their situation and can seek some further help. Thanks to nocleženka service, we are able to provide our help to people free of charge during the winter months, and we are very, very thankful to all the donors that support us.
And where can they buy them?
You can buy them online on the website nocleženka.cz, and it's both in Czech and in English.
Right. Jitka Modlitbová, thank you very much for your good work.
Thank you so much.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature of the day. The Czech School Without Borders has been running in London since 2007, allowing children with a Czech parent to enhance their language skills and meet other kids from bilingual families. On a recent visit to the United Kingdom, Anna Fodor stopped by the school to meet the teachers and children and see how this unique school operates. It
It is around 9 a.m. on a bright autumn day. This is the sound of a year one class at a school in North London about to start their first lesson of the day. But this is no ordinary school in England. For one thing, this lesson is taking place on a Saturday. And secondly, the kids are reading out loud what they did at the weekend from their diaries, which they wrote in Czech.
Moje zuby se hýbe a Olík má strach. Já a Olík jím dobou večeře.
The person behind the Czech School Without Borders is Susanna Jungmanová, the partner of artist Hinek Martinec, who immortally portrayed her in a hyper-realistic painting that won the BP Young Artist of the Year award in 2007. She is the face in the portrait, but also the brains behind the school. She says she first got the seeds of the idea after completing her diploma. She studied art with a focus on classical textile weaving, and for her final project, she helped people with special needs make a series of tapestries. In doing so, she discovered that she loved working with people even more than with objects. It was her first sign that perhaps she was better suited to working with others rather than sitting alone in a studio.
We moved to London and I was thinking maybe it's the time to starting something else. And it was, you know, tiny steps, and we started with a small group and continued. And in 2010, we decided to make like the official statute, like the charity, cooperating with the Czech side as well, like the Minister of Education, Minister of Culture, and also lovely relationships here in London with Czech Centre and Embassy. And now we are very settled, complete school for bilingual kids.
The teacher of the year one class I was observing, Veronica, says she was one of the first parents to send her kids to the Czech school when it started out.
It was just a small group in a living room, a kids art club for little children. So my daughter was just 1.5 years when she started teaching her here.
Veronica used to work as a newsreader for Czech radio back in Prague before her husband, a violin maker, got a job in London, and the couple, with Veronica pregnant at the time, moved to the UK. Once the fledgling Czech school came into its own, Veronica, who is from a family of musicians herself, offered to do singing and dancing lessons with the children.
I started to be involved and it was absolutely great. I love it till now after 13 years. I actually were like 10 years with the preschool, with the really little ones, really spread the joy of Czech language. Play puppet theatre with the kids, singing, you know. And the preschool is good because there is young children with parents, so it's really like to be part of the community. And you can feel the spirit of the parents who need kind of the family which is not here.
I managed to catch one of these parents during the kids' break time. Parents don't usually attend the classes with their children, but her son, Caleb, has broken his leg and is walking on crutches, so she is there to help him. She says she has two kids at the Czech school.
So how long has your son been coming to the Czech school?
The youngest one's been coming since he was 3.
And would you say his Czech's as good as his English? Or?
Certainly not.
No, okay.
But when they are, it helps here, it helps with grammar, especially against the older kids when they speak and write. So that's good. And when they go back to Czech Republic, if they spend a week there, their Czech improves massively.
Around 200 children between the ages of 2 to 14 attend the Czech School Without Borders, split between preschool, year 0, and year 1 through year 9. Susanna says that the younger year groups are the largest.
We have quite full classes, like the preschool groups are so big, it's around 30 kids. Year 0, it's the special classroom before the year 1, is the full complete, like 27. Year one, it's around 25, and of course, still, you know, up, it's a, you know, less kids. But year 9, at the moment, we have 8 kids, yeah.
Although there is more interest for younger children, Susanna says they are very strict about always keeping one teacher and one assistant for each year group, rather than melting smaller classes into one, to ensure that the education levels are kept clear and delineated. One interesting feature of the Czech School Without Borders is that graduates of the school, kids who went through the whole system and came out the other side, can then work at the school as classroom assistants or even teachers. This is the case of this year 4 teaching assistant, who began as a pupil at the school and then went on to work there.
I began out as a volunteer, unpaid labour. And all I really did was stand around and, you know, correct some things that they said wrong, or helped do some homework corrections. Then I became an assistant, but that came more responsibilities, so I started teaching some lessons.
He says he is somewhat unusual at the school because, unlike most of the children, he was born in the Czech Republic.
Probably mostly an exception. Most of the children here are born in England, or, you know, have one parent that's British, one parent that's Czech. Both my parents are Czech. So
when did you move here?
When I was 7, yeah.
So you had, like, the proper Czech education before you
came
here?
Yes, I didn't speak a lick of English when I came.
Although for him, Czech was never a problem, for other kids born in the UK, possibly with only one Czech parent who may be very busy, the school is a lifeline.
I never really had many problems with Czech because my parents were quite on top of it. But a lot of the time, you know, the parents don't have time to teach their kids, so that's why they bring them here.
Like all schools, the Czech School Without Borders had to move online during the COVID pandemic. But Zuzana says this was surprisingly successful, and many parents and children welcome not having to travel long distances from outside of London in some instances to attend. In the end, it was so successful that they decided to keep lessons online every other week in a zigzag system. This Year 6 teaching assistant and former pupil at the school explains how it works.
They also have it, they only have it in person every other week because half the time they're online because we've got teachers in Czech Republic and they teach them online. Mm-hmm. And then we do it in person, so basically we alternate.
The school follows the Czech primary school curriculum, but adapts it slightly to the specific context, says Zuzana.
We keep a quite strict curriculum from Czech side, but of course, this is the different education. It's not the same like in Czech Republic. You know, developing like the official curriculum for kids who, you know, born and left abroad, which is also quite complicated and strict for them because education here is quite different. But for teachers and all of us, it was very challenging because we try to, you know, to put something from, you know, the Brits' education, also to put our system.
The curriculum is adapted not only to the fact that the kids don't live in the Czech Republic, but also due to the time constraints that a school that only takes place one day a week has, as this Year 3 teacher explains.
There's a kind of like general curriculum which we follow, so we just adjusted it for our needs, but yeah, that's a huge help, so we kind of know what to follow. It's just adapted to what we can really teach in one morning.
She says there is a range of language abilities in some classes, with English far more dominant for some of the children than for others.
Some kids might really prefer almost to speak in English, and some of them are from families with both parents Czech. So it's a huge difference. So it's kind of challenging for the teachers to make sure everyone is involved.
But for her, the joy is that the children never stop surprising them.
That the kids are creative, they surprise us. Like especially with this class, whenever I give them a task and I think, oh, it's too challenging, it will be a disaster. It's not. They really kind of do their best, and they're amazing. Yeah, what they can do, really.
One of the big aims of the school is to allow Czech to become more than just a heritage language for the pupils, for it to move beyond something they only speak at home and can only use in a limited way, to a language they could actually use later in life for work or for study. Zuzana says that for this reason, although the school mostly follows the Czech primary school curriculum, they adapted it a little to suit their purposes.
Actually, we a little bit change our curriculum because the end of the study, like the year 9 in the Czech Republic, is the year when the student, you know, training all the same thing they starting in year 1. Which is quite boring because they are 14 years old. Come on, you know, to repeat it again, everything. And we decided, okay, maybe it's time to a little bit changing. And we develop new books and new educational materials for them to prepare them for language exams.
The B2 Czech language certificate counts as official evidence of language knowledge and allows foreigners to study at university in the Czech Republic, which Susanna says one of her former students has done. Of course, to get there, pupils have to overcome a difficult period in their development when they often don't want to keep going to the school.
Of course, it's the very difficult for parents, because when they start in, when they, you know, this teenager's age, you know, 10, 11, 12, it's very difficult for parents, you know, to have them on their side. But yeah, we need to be strong, because if they over this complicated age, is a new life for them. And I think it's, you know, all of my young assistants always said, oh, it was sometimes very hard, but we are very happy now, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, it's really huge potential for them, mm-hmm. and I think it's good to keep it and follow it.
It can be hard for parents to keep the children motivated once they get to this age, which is why the school sees a drop in class sizes as the grades progress. But Susanna says that if the pupil manages to get over this hump, it opens up a lot of opportunities for them. And what do the kids themselves make of having to go to school on a Saturday?
The reason why I like going here is because I then go to a trampoline park after it. So, yeah, I always do something after Czech school.
We can do crafts, arts and crafts, and we can learn about different things.
And how does it compare to their regular English school?
It's different because it's 2 hours shorter, and also you don't have to wear a uniform.
Well, it's shorter, and also that we speak Czech.
Nothing like the Czech school without borders existed in the UK when I was a kid. Back then, growing up with Czech and Slovak parents in 1990s Britain, there were no resources or support for my parents to teach me Czech. I spoke it up until I was 3 or 4 without an accent. I've seen the home videos my dad recorded of me as a 2 or 3 year old pretending to call my grandma, using one of his tires as a pretend telephone, and blathering away in half Czech babble. And then a year or two later, actually speaking Czech sentences with perfect grammar that years later as an adult, I had to painstakingly relearn. There's even a video of me singing Bar Bar Black Sheep in English, but with an unmistakable Czech lilt. But when I started going to school and didn't want to speak Czech anymore, my parents were totally unprepared. They had no resources or support, nowhere to turn, and nowhere I could go to meet other children living in England with Czech parents. Assuming that I wouldn't use Czech much in later life anyway, they gave up. Little did they know that years later, I would move to the Czech Republic as an adult and have to laboriously relearn all that forgotten grammar and vocabulary. And although no doubt my early exposure to Czech gave me a head start in learning the language over other foreigners, I will never speak it like a native. If something like the Czech School Without Borders had existed back then, it might have been a very different story.
Wait, is this one for each of us?
Beer, no.
That's
the one.
Beer.
Just colour it.
And that report by Anna Fodor, which was first broadcast in January this year, brings us to the end of our programme here on Radio Prague International. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.